Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay and the Straight Wives Talk Show. Tonight I have a very special episode with a very dear friend of mine, Dr. Brian Hooper. Dr. Hooper is a state-licensed psychotherapist. He is a gay man, an ordained Lutheran pastor, and he practices from a psych-spiritual integrative perspective. Dr. Hooper is a fellow of the American Association of Pastoral Counselors and works with individuals and couples, gay and straight. He has a specialty in working with gay men who experience an internal conflict between their affectional and erotic attraction to men and the lives that they are living. I asked Dr. Hooper if he could be our guest tonight for this special episode geared for men who are in a situation that they come to me, they need information, they're really struggling with their homosexuality, they're married men who love their wives, they feel very torn apart, and they don't know what to do, and I felt these men really need some very clear direction from a therapist, and I asked Dr. Hooper if he would join me, because no one knows better than he does the answers to some of these questions. So, Brian, welcome to our show tonight.
Thank you, Bonnie. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
And just a little bit about yourself. You do therapy. You're in a faraway place, but that doesn't mean people have to be close to you to get the therapy, correct?
That's right. I am in Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. But with the wonders of Skype these days and the telephone, you know, I can certainly do some good coaching with folks who are outside of the state and help them take a look at what their options are.
And you've been doing a wonderful job of that with the people who, you know, have been coming through my network to you. And even though you're not sitting right next to each other, you feel like it when you're on Skype, right?
It really does help an awful lot, you know. And I do understand there may be individuals who are just not comfortable with that. So we can talk by phone. But Skype really helps because I can see their faces and a lot is communicated with the expressions people have, and we want to work with the whole person, so that's why I like to do it that way.
Right, but if not, don't worry, because, you know, for instance, I'm a Skypeless person, and you can still do therapy by phone, and Dr. Hooper is extremely effective that way also. And I'll give you all his contact information at the close of this program. But there are several issues that I'd like to talk to you about or ask you questions and get your input for the men who are listening to this show.
All
and
right.
I know that many of them are going through tremendous pain because they feel that they're in a situation where they love their wives. They married them with all of the good intentions of making this family work, making this love work. And, you know, they were hoping against hope that loving someone would make those attractions go away that they were having for men. But it's only a matter of time before those feelings take over whatever they're doing, all the things right to be a good husband, but somehow that just always comes back and interferes. So here's some of the questions I'd like to ask you that you can address. And
okay.
Some of the men who come to me, they say to me, I don't think I'm gay, even if I have these attractions, because I don't relate to the gay lifestyle. So maybe I'm really not gay. Maybe it's just a sexual attraction to men. Could that be? How would you answer that for them?
Yeah, I want to let you in on something, Bonnie. I'm not all that wild about the, quote, gay lifestyle myself, or at least parts of that gay lifestyle. I don't relate to it. Doesn't make sense to me. And when I say that, what I mean is, you know, certain obsessions with the bar scene or, you know, the circuit party life, certain presentations of oneself that are really kind of over the top. You know, I don't relate to those things, but the question really is, the underlying question is, to whom am I attracted? Am I sexually, that is erotically and emotionally attracted to men, or am I erotically and emotionally attracted to women? And in my case, the answer is men. And so I think what happens is, lifestyle gets confused with orientation. So I want to help guys get really clear about what's their attraction, because that's the core issue. They can live that out as a gay man in a way that works best for them. There may be part of the whole gay scene that they relate to. There may be part of the gay scene that they don't relate to. But, you know, the same thing is true, I think, for straight folks as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things that you and your boyfriend, I'm sure you enjoy doing, and other things you say, I don't understand why couples are, you know, wanting to get into that. It makes no sense to us. Is that true for you?
Absolutely. And I know that even without my boyfriend, I mean, there are certain scenes. I'm not a bar person.
Right.
I have friends who go to bars, and they love it, and they think it's great. It's just
right.
not who I am. So, you know, that's... But I think that when you're gay and... or you're on the verge of coming out of being gay and you see that this is what to you it represents, then that may make some men even feel more strongly that this is not what they are.
I think that's exactly right. And I think with that, then, there is an underlying fear of being homosexual. You know, we call that homophobia. And I understand that. I mean, I recently saw a clip from a 1950s, quote, public service film, the kind that they would show in school. And it had the very officious-sounding announcer saying, "Beware of the homosexual," you know, and it showed some guy in a dark coat and hat hanging out near a restroom, as if this is what it means to be a gay man. So it inculcated in generations of men this kind of self-loathing because they were being equated with, you know, people who prey on kids or who otherwise are, you know, derelict in their lives. And so I think what we need to do in this day and age is to separate out all of that false kind of lore and say, that doesn't apply to everybody. Just as, you know, the swinging single for the straight person doesn't apply to every straight person either, you know.
Along those lines, do you think that part of the problem also is that in growing up, certainly in my generation, but even with some of the younger generations, it was a certain stereotype in the media of what a gay person represented, for instance, the Liberace's or the Paul Lynde's or the very effeminate, you know, types of figures. And when men say, that's not me, I can't relate to that, I'm nothing like that, is that part of it, do you think?
I think that's part of, yes, indeed, and that's part of what I was getting at. And that triggered a thought for me. Hold on one second. Now, it escaped me for the moment. I'm sure it'll come back. But, yeah, it's that, then that results in an internalized kind of phobia, a fear of my own orientation, not just a fear of those folks out there, but a fear of what I'm feeling inside me, because it gets equated with certain manifestations of a really gender expression, and it confuses gender expression, which is the continuum from feminine to masculine. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, the four things that make up our sexual identity, our gender identity, gender expression, biological sex, and sexual orientation. But I want to get into that in more depth in the show a little bit later. But for now, let me just say that that whole thing of saying, well, I'm not effeminate, that's confusing gender expression. And some gay men come off as more effeminate, some come off as more masculine, you know, and some straight women come off as more feminine, and some come off as more masculine, too. So, you know, I mean, how a person carries themselves is a distinct thing from to whom are they actually sexually and emotionally attracted.
You know, I found a lot of men are confused because they use something called the Kinsey scale. And I know that you're familiar with this, and I find it pretty confusing myself. And men come to me and they say, well, I've been studying the Kinsey scale, and I'm not sure if I'm a 2 or 3. Does that mean I'm going to move to 4 or 5? Can you address that a little bit?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Kinsey scale came out in the 1940s. And, you know, I have to say, Dr. Kinsey was advanced for his day because he was willing to even talk about this in, you know, in a thoughtful kind of way. And so let me take a moment to talk about this. What the Kinsey Scale does is to not focus on internal experience, but rather it focuses on certain behaviors. So have you had simply incidental relationships, as it refers to it, with another man, sexual encounters with another man, meaning, well, I've had a couple, but primarily I have them with women, therefore I must be straight. The problem with the Kinsey Scale is that it doesn't address the fact that men who get into straight relationships and marry may suppress this for a long time and then occasionally act out, and then out of their guilt and shame they suppress it again and they say, well, I haven't had all that many sexual experiences with men, I am married, so therefore, you know, I must be a straight man. And what we really need to focus on is providing men an opportunity to have a safe emotional place where they can really get honest with themselves and say, okay, one, I'm attracted to emotionally and erotically to men, or two, I'm attracted emotionally and erotically to women. Which is it? Am I a one or am I a two? And Bonnie, you and I embrace, I think, that scale, you know, the one or the two. I think that's really what's most important. I will acknowledge the theoretical possibility that there are some people who are erotically truly attracted to members of both sex. I think they're extremely rare, and that what most men who are in straight marriages are doing is engaging in a lot of denial and self-deception. And they really need to have a place where they can honestly take a look and say, which am I erotically and emotionally attracted to? Men.
Is it possible to be erotically attracted to one but emotionally attracted to another?
Thank you. Absolutely. I mean, I have met women who I have thought, oh, you know, what a wonderful human being. I love her strength. I love her integrity. I love her boldness. I just want to be around this person. But it's not, I don't want to get in bed with her. You know, I don't want to have sex with her. Mm-hmm. I also have male friends that I'm emotionally attached to, because there's some depth there in the relationship, and we humans are created for that kind of depth, but I'm not erotically attracted to them. And I think folks get confused because they fail to separate some of this out. And I think there's also a difference between the kind of emotional attraction I will have to a woman and the kind of emotional attraction I'll have to another man. And I think here's the difference. For me, and I think for most gay men, the attraction we have to another man is it brings a sense of our own fulfillment, our own connectedness with them at a heart level, not just simply a level of admiration and appreciation. Do you understand the distinction I'm making there?
Oh, absolutely.
Let me just say this. I think a lot of gay men marry women they care deeply about. They are their best friends when they get married. They've had wonderful experiences together. The guy is saying to himself, well, I must be straight because I was raised by parents who told me I was straight, and my church tells me I'm straight. And after all, I care about this person deeply. You know, I love this person. It's almost like a sibling kind of love in a sense for many gay men, and they repress or press down their attraction to men, believing honestly that they're doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
I have yet to meet a man who said to me, I knew full well when I was gay when I went into this, and I just married her to use her in the front. I haven't, you know.
No, I would say that the majority of men, I would say at least 95% of men go into these marriages with, you know, good hearts. good intent, hoping those nagging attractions will somehow disappear.
Right.
But as I explained, it's like a jack-in-the-box, you know, you keep shoving it down, but every time you get to a certain part of the song, it's going to pop up again because it just can't stay down. You know,
well,
to be with someone.
I want to tell you, Bonnie, you are right up there with the likes of the great Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung, because he says if you push it down one hole, it will come up another hole over here, you know. It's this underground kind of serpentine kind of energy, whatever that may be. I'm not just talking about sexual stuff, but other ideas, if we repress them in society or in ourselves, they will come up someplace else. Yeah.
I would like to know your opinion on this. I have men who come to me who say, look, I'm married, I have children, you know, I have a good lifestyle with my wife, you know, in the straight world. I do have this need to be with the men, but it's just sexual. So is it possible for me just to stay married and, you know, keep the sex on the down low, so to speak? I mean, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I have several responses to that, Bonnie. First of all, I would say to them, well, you're not really being fully available to your wife when you do that. And what I mean by that is that, you know, you're not being emotionally vulnerable to her. You're not sharing your true and deepest self with her because there's this part of yourself that you're, quote, keeping on the down low, okay? So there's a lack of authenticity in you if this is what you're doing because you're not authentically available. So real intimacy requires real vulnerability, and this, you know, person is going to be emotionally and literally looking over their shoulder all the time, you know, trying to keep this compartmentalized, you know, which really fractures a person. We may talk about what it does to the individual a little bit more later. An additional thing is there's the possibility of bringing, the real possibility of bringing disease into the relationship if a person is having multiple partners, or maybe they've only got one partner, but is that partner being faithful just to them, you know? My attitude is you sleep with one person, you're sleeping with every person they've slept with. So you better be careful. Okay. Another point is that if you took religious marriage vows, then you know, there's about a 99% chance you're breaking those vows because you're cleaving to somebody else other than to her.
How about men who tell me, well, it's not really cheating because it's not with another woman?
It doesn't matter. The woman you married didn't sign up to be married to a man who's having sex with men on the side. She signed up to be with a man who is exclusively with her. Maybe there are 3% of women that didn't sign up for that, but the vast majority. And the guys know it too. They know that. And otherwise, why are they keeping it on the down low? You know? And I understand, and I have a lot of compassion because we all tell ourselves stories to try to justify stuff, whatever it may be, you know. But I'm saying this is too important not to get honest with yourself. It's emotionally, spiritually, and physically imperative that you be honest with yourself about this.
Now, and I know it's so difficult for so many men to do this, but I still say that if you truly love the woman who you marry, that you need to do it. And I always tell men also it's going to be the worst day of your life.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way around it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. It's never going to be wonderful. It's going to be horrible. But once the truth is out, it's out. And you can only move up from that point, I believe.
So
And I'm just wondering, in your opinion, what this does to men. You know, you were talking a little bit before about compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
What does it do to men who have two separate lives or live these two separate lives?
Well, just a couple more thoughts on what it does in the relationship, and then I will answer that very directly, okay? I also want to say that this is really hard, psychologically hard on the wife. It's actually abusive to the wife to stay in a relationship as a gay man that's having sex on the side, pretending to be a straight man in a straight marriage. And I say it's psychologically abusive because we humans communicate on a level that's far deeper than direct communication. There's this phenomenon called metacommunication that's happening all the time. And more research in psychology is really validating this, that on the meta level is energetic. We give off, if you will, in a sense, emotional vibes to the persons that we're around. And they can pick up on our anxiety over compartmentalizing and trying to keep them separated out. So, you know, understand that this is harmful already for your wife, okay? And the children as well, because where there's stress in the marriage between husband and wife, the kids will pick up on that. And sometimes the kids know dad's gay before the wife knows, because they're hip to it. They're reading the signs. They know it's there. And it's terribly confusing for them. And men have to be very careful that they don't hide this from the kids. They need to be honest with the children if they want to have a relationship with the children, because kids get, junior high school kids, they get the importance of integrity. And if we don't have that, then we lose connection with them. Anyway, I will move on to your question about what does this do to men who live two separate lives? Well, this lack of integration, of keeping separated out one's affectional and erotic orientation, and Bonnie, I emphasize those two components, that, you know, the old word homosexual probably is better than the confusing term gay, but still leaves out the matter of the heart. So it's really both. It's emotional attraction and physical attraction. And when you separate that out and are trying to live this bifurcated life, this divided life, this compartmentalized life, depression often happens to the man because he's not being able to be authentic. And anxiety will happen because there's always the fear of when is the shoe going to drop, okay? When is she going to figure it out? When is it going to be too much? Depression and anxiety often result. And by the way, they are siblings. Depression and anxiety are siblings. A lot of folks don't know this. They're siblings because depression is about loss from in the moment or from the past. So for the gay man in a straight marriage, it's, you know, I'm not happy, I'm not really satisfied, I can't be who I am, I'm losing out. The anxiety then is about anticipating further loss in the future. And they're anticipating, well, who am I apart from this marriage? And what I say to these men is, you'll never know who you really are at the core level until you have the guts to go ahead and stand up and speak the truth, and speak the truth in love, do the loving thing, tell her the truth, and then we can begin to work on discovering the real you. And I have several clients right now who are dealing with this. One said to me, oh, my God, do people actually make it through this, you know, this coming out process? And I said, yeah, they actually do. It will get better. I said, it will get worse first, but it will get better. And then he parroted that back to me later. He said, well, you told me it would get worse, and it did, but you know what? It's gotten so much better. And that's so true. And I want to hold out that hope, because all of a sudden there's this relief, and this is what my clients say. There's so much relief that comes when I don't have to keep up the charade anymore. And that's when they can discover their real authenticity body. And then they can have, in many cases, a real relationship with their ex. It takes time. There's a lot of healing, but they can have that. Yeah.
Well, I feel that's one goal that you can certainly work with couples, and I know that you do that. That when couples are splitting, it's also important to have that kind of counseling, because if you have children and have to work together as a team, it's really important to be able to communicate when there are children involved. When there's not children involved, I say you can walk away and end a marriage. But when you have children, you're tied together for life through one way or another.
Yeah, that's right. That's so important. And, you know, I want to tell, maybe this would be a nice place for a little interlude of my own, just to tell a little bit of my story that I think could be helpful for the guys. And you let me know how we're doing on time, okay, hon?
Sure.
It's clear that we don't go over what your time is for tonight.
No, we have about 20 minutes.
But, you know, I understand how it is that that men have a hard time embracing who they are, and coming out to their wives and really owning up to that, especially if they come from religious communities. I know that when I was in my undergraduate studies in human services, which is social work, when I was in college, I had I was working in a counseling center, and I talked to the marriage and family therapist, who was a Christian, as am I, and I said, you know, I have some doubts about myself, because I said, you know, I'm just not attracted to women, and I haven't been, and I thought it would be happening by now. And he tried to do some hypnosis with me, and frankly, he wasn't very good. I know he wasn't very good, because I've studied hypnosis since I got my doctoral degree. But he said to me, he said, oh, I wouldn't worry about it. He knew I was going to go on to seminary, and he said to me, I wouldn't worry about it. By the time you're out of seminary, you'll be married and you'll have kids. Nothing to worry about. And this was coming from a licensed professional, Bonnie. Cool. So, you know, there are people out there who really mislead folks. And before that, there was a minister when I was in high school I spoke with, and he looked at me, because I was an ultra-conservative kid then, and he looked at me and said, well, you're not telling me now that you're gay, are you? And the tone of voice said to me, don't you dare tell me you're gay. That's a bad thing. So I went, I'm not saying that. Let's put that genie back in the bottle before it escapes.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's what's so discouraging, especially, you know, I'd like for you to talk a little bit about men who come from the religious, you know, church, because they struggle so greatly, more so than anyone I know, because of all the messages that they get that they can change, that, you know, you can pray this away, that you're, okay, and now the church is even saying, well, okay, we admit that you're not born straight, that maybe you are born gay, but that doesn't mean you can't control it. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, happy to. So, well, let me talk just a little bit about the ex-gay movement. So here's how it works, because I'm very familiar with the movement. A man shows up on their doorstep of one of these places and says, you know, I don't want to be gay anymore. And they say to the person, well, your real identity in Christ is a straight person. So that's who you really are. This other is a misunderstanding of your real identity. So just choose every day to identify as a straight man, because that's what you are. It's kind of like the game, you know, or tap, tap, now I make the rules. When we were kids, you know, tap, tap, and we would make the next rule. And so it's kind of like tap, tap, you know, because you're Christian, therefore you are straight, and therefore just choose every day with God's help to behave as the straight person that you are, and you'll be fine. I mean, that's a simplified version, okay? And they used to say, you will change, and you will have different feelings. Well, even the ex-gay groups have modified that. Now what they'll say is, well, we can't guarantee that we'll take all the attraction away, but we'll help you adjust. So in other words, we will reward you emotionally by accepting you and applauding you and whatever else, for continuing to choose to live this divided life. The problem is, this then results in further depression and anxiety in many people. And I want to let your hearers know, your listeners know, that the American Psychological Association, the American Psychiatric Association, the American Medical Association, the American Child Psychology Association, Clinical Social Workers Association, they've all come out against this, quote, reparative therapy that tries to change people, and they have all said this stuff is dangerous. And in California now, it's actually illegal to engage in any kind of change therapy with anyone under the age of 18 years of age because it's been recognized as so damaging. I have one friend who, from seminary days, who went to one of these programs after he was ordained and ended up a raging alcoholic. After that, he got into AA, and then he was able to accept himself, and thank God he's clean and sober and helping other people. But I've seen firsthand the damage it does to folks. It does not work.
Absolutely, and it not only damages the man, but it damages his wife as well. Because
well, yeah.
She can't understand where she's failing because it isn't working, and they're praying together.
Right.
And yet that
right.
doesn't mean that he's having any more desire for her than he had prior to this time.
Right.
And
exactly.
It's damaging. But how about,
and
you know, men who are really religious and they come and they say, well, I know what you're saying is true, but according to what I believe, you know, if I don't do this, then the Bible's telling me that I'm going to go to hell and this is a sin.
Yeah. So I'll tell you what, I would invite those men to write to me. I will give them bibliographies of books they can read. I can give them a monograph that I have written that deals with what I call the clobber passages. These are the passages out of the Tanakh, which Christians call the Old Testament, and my Jewish friends call it Tanakh. And out of the Christian scriptures, or what Christians call the New Testament, I will send this monograph to them. It deals with those passages that are used to really sort of beat up on folks who identify as homosexual. And they are misread. They're read out of context. And for Christian folks, they are not being read through the lens, what we call the lens of the gospel. And for Christians, that's how all of Scripture is read, is through the lens of God's gospel, his grace, his forgiveness. And Christian folks really are looking for a message, understand the message of the gospel is that which makes us whole in relationship to God, to self, and to others. And we can't have this bifurcated life and really be whole. You know, I can't go into all the passages in a half hour, 45-minute radio program, but what I want to say is I hear passages being quoted from pulpits all the time in ways that are out of context. And Bonnie, a text out of context is a pretext to make it say whatever it is the preacher's comfortable with. So always listen to texts in context. And I would have rabbis as well as Christian pastors back me up on that statement.
And just, you know, before we have to end tonight, maybe you could address a little bit about sexuality being more complicated than just sex organs, right? You know, what are the
yeah.
basic components of sexuality, and how does this relate to being gay or straight?
Okay, so I'll run through this really quickly. First of all, there's gender identity, and that's the question is, which is, what do I identify myself as? Do I identify myself as a woman or as a man? And for some people who have mixed genitalia, you know, they may identify otherwise than just one end of the scale or the other. But the question is, do I identify as a man or a woman? That's pretty clear-cut for the majority of people. The next is gender expression, and that is what is understood in our society as masculine behavior and what is understood as feminine behavior. Now, understand that in the Western world, that can be somewhat different than it is in say, the Near East or the Far East. Straight men do in Middle Eastern countries often walk down the street holding hands together, having no erotic attraction to each other, but it's like they're brothers, and it's just part of that culture. So it's really how a person expresses themselves in the culture that they're in. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The third one is biological sex. That is what's objectively measurable, the hormones, the chromosomes, but most visible to us are not our chromosomes or our hormones, but rather, you know, do we have a vagina and ovaries, or do we have, you know, a penis and testes? So that's the biological sexual component. And then finally, the last is sexual orientation. To whom am I emotionally and erotically attracted? So you can have a very person who identifies as a man, who is, his gender expression is very masculine, who has male biology, and who has attraction towards other men. Does that make sense?
It does to me.
Yeah. So those are the four components, and what happens is we confuse sexual orientation with identity, with expression. And because, you know, homosexuals have been identified as effeminate men, and there's a whole range there. Frankly,
I know that my former husband, who, you know, gay husband, was an athlete.
Yeah,
you know, very magnificent athlete, very macho.
Right,
looked like
Sylvester
Stallone. I mean, you know, he couldn't have been any more manly in any possible way, and it had nothing to do with being gay.
And there are very masculine, straight men who can whip up a dinner for six people and, you know, can enjoy the symphony with their wife and do things that are often equated with gay men, but would never be attracted to another man. And there are gay men who, trust me, they can fix your car, they can put up your drywall, you know, and they can play rugby. In fact, we've got a rugby team right here in Nashville, Tennessee, the Grizzlies. And, you know, a more macho group you couldn't find. You know, I want to let guys know, get beyond that and just get to the core of who you are.
I think that's a wonderful thing that you work with people in therapy to get to that point, to feel comfortable with who they are. And I always tell men, you know, this doesn't have to happen today. It could be a process, but you have to start moving on the road. That there has to be some kind of guidelines. And a lot of times men just don't know what kind of roadmap to have. And that's why I think that working with a therapist can really make a major difference in the direction your life is going. I know that I find men, Brian, who just linger in there for years and years. And sometimes they say this to me, maybe you're going to just address this for a moment, I can't do it, I can't tell my wife, I don't want to hurt her. I hear this all the time, I don't want to hurt her. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, I would say, what do you think you're doing right now? You know, it hurts her more to stay in a relationship and feel confused because something's not quite right here.
Mm-hmm.
Then, yes, it's going to be devastating when you come out. Let's face it. But do it and do it right. And ultimately, she will be grateful. She'll be angry at first, of course. Because, you know, hey, it's taking you time, buddy, to come to grips with who you are. So, you know, you got to give her some time, too. But ultimately, it's going to be the better thing to do, and it's just the right thing to do. It's
mm-hmm.
the ethical right thing to do. Yeah.
Right, and I do tell that to men. You know, you've struggled with this for your whole life. It's just not going to be a passing phase or a week or two, and your wife's going to be fine. It's
right.
going to be a recovery period that both of you are going to have to go through. Lots of life adjustments and life changes, but it's for the better quality of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because right now there is no quality, and if men think that they're fooling their wives, they're fooling themselves. Maybe they're fooling them into thinking they're not gay, but they're not fooling them as far as being unhappy. When
that's
you can't
right.
be emotionally attracted to someone or physically attracted to someone, that person knows it, and they're hurting. Because they're internalizing that it's their own fault.
That's right. Yep. Absolutely.
So for people to get in touch with you, Brian, how can they do that?
You know, a couple ways, and I think it's probably best if they simply go to my website. And the website is www.dr, for doctor, D-R, and then my name, Brian, B-R-I-A-N, Hooper, H-O-O, P as in Paul, D-R. So drbrianhooper.com. And they can find my email address there. They'll find my phone number there, Bonnie. It's also on your website. So why don't you give them your website?
Right. It's the website where you found me originally, gayhusbands.com. And if you go over to the right-hand side where it says Bonnie's recommended links, and it says for gay men, the first link you're going to see is Brian Hooper. And when you click in, you'll have Brian's website and his contact information. And, you know, what he stands for, what he's about. And once again, it's gayhusbands.com, and look for on the right-hand side under contact, Dr. Brian or Brian Hooper. And he's the first contact there because, to me, he's the best contact there.
Oh, thank you.
Other ones aren't good, but Brian is the best. He's the most comforting. And once again, I think not only for men who need help and support, but also if you need help with your wife, if you can do this as a couple. Because I think that once you come to terms with what the situation is, you're going to both have to work at what your future is going to be. And in the beginning, it's going to be, once again, very painful and very difficult. And sometimes having a counselor there who can work through details with both of you and be impartial. You know, I know that every woman who has heard you on my show and been in contact with you truly believes that you're very objective and you don't take sides. You know, you're there for the better quality of life for both parties and how to get there, and you hold people accountable. And, you know, women should never feel, well, he's a gay therapist. No, he's a wonderful therapist, and that's all you have to be concerned about. So both you and your wife want to go to Dr. Hooper, you'll be in the best of hands. And you do couple counseling also, correct?
I do. And, you know, I work with straight folks, I work with gay folks, I work with individuals, and I work with couples. In Tennessee, my license is a clinical pastoral therapist. Don't be put off by that. I work with folks who on a whole spectrum of religiosity, from, you know, devoutly Christian to, gee, I think there might be something out there someplace. I work respectfully with people who are Jewish, Islamic, Buddhist, and where it's appropriate, I'll help them draw on their own religious traditions. But if that's not, you know, what we need to focus on, we'll just work with the bigger spiritual issues, which are really about reconnecting to ourselves, to others in this world, and to the source of life, no matter how people name that. So I enjoy working with folks in on a multidimensional level, you know. And I also work with other clinicians, with psychiatrists and others, to make sure that we get all of the issues covered and coordinated. And I take time. I call my other colleagues when my clients are working with them and check in with them and make sure we're all on the same page together.
Brian, I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight and for reaching out to the men who come to me. And,
hey, thank you.
You know, just as nice as Brian sounds on this interview, this is how he really is in real life. So you'll really feel comforted by his guidance and by his compassion and by his ability to make your life better. And that's what he's about, and that's why he's part of our network. So all the men who are listening, please get back in touch with me. If you need to get in touch with Brian and you can't do it, or just go to my website at Gay Husbands and click into Brian Hooper. Brian, have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much, and best of luck in this upcoming year and working together with our network to make lives better for people.
It's going to be a stellar year.
All right. Good night, everybody, and have a good week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.